I'm Melvin Adams, and I'm your host for the podcast, The State of Education. It is a podcast put out by Noah Webster Educational Foundation, and we are delighted to have you join us today. I'm joined today by co-host Shelby Slater, part of our NWEF team, and we're going to have a brief discussion about some recent events, some exciting things that have just happened, and some things that are perhaps coming forward. So, Shelby, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me on today. So we had this event last weekend that I was hoping you could tell the listeners about. We had our first school board summit in Virginia. Can you tell us a little bit about that and what the purpose of it was?
Absolutely. Happy to do that. So this past Saturday, we had our first school board summit in Virginia. Really, the focus of that was this. So often we work hard. We see good people elected to office, and we have high aspirations. But soon we find them seem to be floundering and lost, and all the things that they ran on, they're not doing. And as I thought about that, I was talking to a friend of mine, and we concluded, here's the problem. They are not being properly resourced. They're out there doing this on their own, and they have the school board associations talking to them. They have the teachers' unions talking to them. They have these various elements talking to them, but that's about it. And there is a vast network of organizations across this country with tremendous expertise. And I thought, what we've got to do is start bringing and coalescing that network together to provide an alternative resource for school board members, especially those who are just recently elected. And so that's what we decided to do, and it was a great event.
That's wonderful. And you mentioned this event was sponsored by several organizations. In your mind, what was the intent behind, you know, Noah Webster Educational Foundation could have done this, hosted it on their own. What was the intent behind gathering a number of organizations together?
Well, here's what I believe. I believe it's amazing what we can get done if it doesn't matter who gets the credit. I also believe that we can do more together. Every organization has its bandwidth, and every organization has its particular focuses and expertise. When we bring multiple groups together, it just widens that space and significantly increases the productivity potential that we have. And when it comes to resourcing school board members, it just blows the doors wide open. So it doesn't really matter what the issue is that they're trying to resolve or trying to get some solutions for, some recommendations for. Somebody in that network is going to be able to help them with input, with recommendations, with legal counsel, with who knows what. And so that's why, you know, and actually, you know, our focus this weekend was quite limited. There are many other organizations that want to join us for going forward, and we do intend to go forward not only here in Virginia with more events, but across the country. We believe it's critical that we come behind these school board candidates and really empower them so that they can do the job that they signed up for.
That's wonderful. I know in leading up to the event, I was helping get some things set up, and I had a phone call with a young woman who was recently elected to a school board position in Virginia, and she was really excited about the event because the State School Board Association, she told me that pretty much they just expected everyone to be in lockstep, and she was so excited that there was a resource where they were being taught how to think on their own and make good decisions and not expected to just fall in line with the State School Board Association. So you mentioned the focus was kind of limited. Can you give us a few examples of what was talked about at the event as far as what kind of information and resources that people learned about?
All right, great. So we had a number of panels, and we had some really fantastic panelists. The first two, the morning was made up basically of primarily two panels. The first was a focus on the role of school board and really with an internal focus. What does the job look like from the inside? So when people, you know, when you get on a school board, the first thing is okay, so I'm part of this nucleus, and how do we work together? What are the various dynamics there? And what are my duties and responsibilities inside that body? How can I work effectively inside that group to advance what's good for our schools and for our students and our communities? And so that was the focus of that first panel, just the job, looking at it from the inside. The second panel was really directed as a member looking outside of the immediate board structure. So out into, for example, networking, connecting well with your board of supervisor, working well with the parents, with the media, with, you know, how do you involve your broader community into what's going on? And what are some of those important roles that actually help you do your job well and represent the people that elected you? So that was the second focus. Both of those, we had exceptional panelists, all of them experienced school board members, and just outstanding panels. After that, we had a representative from the administration, from the Department of Education, was here, and actually the Assistant Secretary of Education came and shared with us kind of what was going on inside the department and some of their goals and perspectives and some of the things that they wanted to see. We felt like it was important for them to hear from the broader perspective of how the administration sees education. It wasn't so much a matter of agreeing or disagreeing. It was about information. And then in the afternoon, we had a couple more panels. The first one was a parent panel. We believe strongly that parents have to play a pivotal and central role in the education of their children. Right. And frankly, when parents are involved at home and at school, the students always do better. And we're thrilled to see the revival of parental involvement in education. So we had a panel, excellent panel from different places across the Commonwealth, and they shared some of their insight, some of the things that they were involved in, and some of the things that were important for parents that schools should do, and some things that they really didn't want to see in our schools. I think it's important that our people hear from parents directly. Mm-hmm. And not just because parents are angry, but because parents want to have positive and constructive input into the process. That was the whole focus here. Right. And then the last panel was a panel of representatives from organizations. We had five different organizations that were part of this summit, this particular one. Each one shared about their organization. Each one shared some of the resources that they could provide to school board members. And then I actually shared with some other resources. We didn't have representatives there, but some things that from organizations that they could utilize as board members to deal with some of the issues that they deal with. So networking like that and the response, the exit, we had exit forms when people left just to give us feedback. It was very, very positive, and we got some really good input, some things that can help us improve. That's ultimately our goal. We want to do the very best we can, because at the end of the day, if we can provide resources that really equip and empower school board members so that they can stand and think on their own feet, so to speak, work independently of all these different influence groups, and really, you know, look at different options and then pull it together and make presentation to the boards and try to come up with solutions that actually serve their communities well.
Right. So if people are just now hearing about this event, now that we've wrapped it up this past weekend, are we planning to do this again in the future? Are we going to, is it going to continue to be just in Virginia? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, our thoughts are, this is not just something that's needed here. It's needed across the country. And honestly, school board members are dying for this. Okay. Many, many of them are anxious to get it. And so we will be having some strategic meetings with different organizations and partners and laying out our path forward. We don't have that all fully set yet, but we will be laying that out and doing additional things here in Virginia and across the country. We'll have more information about that as we really zero in and figure out the best path forward.
Excellent. And if people want to find out when the next event is coming up, learn more about the event that just happened, they can do that at summit.nwef.org. And I think that this has been an incredible opportunity. I'm excited about how many people we were able to talk with this past weekend. Thinking about school board leadership as well, a couple weeks ago, you got to sit down with Ron Nehring at the Leadership Institute and talk with him on his podcast. And listeners can hear that entire conversation with Ron on Apple Podcasts. The title of his podcast is Learn Right. They can hear that full episode with you. But we're going to take a moment and listen in on a portion of your conversation with Ron today.
So there is a role at the state level to make improvements in education, not only at the school board level, because the school board can in many cases only operate within the confines right. of what the state allows them to do. We had a second example that's just so brazen, I just have to share it, in that at one point, this is after I was on the board, but in the judgment of the unions, too many school districts had too much money in reserve. And therefore, the state came along and passed a law basically requiring school districts to shove out the door all but a small amount of a reserve, so that districts were not allowed to have a proper rainy day fund and preserve funding, even though there are times when a state was in a budget deficit that school funding was threatened. And so here's another example where, well, the school district, the school board is given responsibility for adopting a budget. But the state comes along and attaches so many strings to that. Well, you can't keep a reserve, or you can't keep a reserve above of a certain small amount, so that all that money can instead go to salaries to pay that ultimately goes back into the pockets of the teachers' unions through more unionized workers and higher dues that they can charge and so on and so forth. And the kind of mission of education kind of gets lost in the process, right? It's all of this tussle over budgets and rules and so on, that the amount of bandwidth that can be spent on actually improving the quality of the instruction can kind of be we're kind of off mission here in terms of what we can spend time on. Isn't that – do you see that?
I do. And it doesn't escape me that both of these examples, when you started, you talked about the union and their influence to make these policies happen. I think everybody needs to listen to that. And, you know, look, there are places and times when unions may be effective and may be useful for the good, but sometimes the unions get – the unions are there. We have to remember this. The unions are there to represent the folk who have contracted them. the unions do not really represent education. They represent the people who have contracted them to fight for their benefits and for their protections and whatnot. And so I think, you know, when it comes right down to it, often that is a big driving force in shaping education policy. And that's why I think equipping parents as well as educators, because educators, this is their life. They don't go into that space typically because they want to become a bureaucrat. They go into that space because they love children, they love learning, and they want to help make a better community. And, you know, a lot of times, though, parents and educators and sometimes even legislators, they depend on people to give them information. They don't know all these things themselves, and they're just pressured sometimes by whether it's unions or other entities. That's where I think some of us have to step up and provide alternate resources so that they can think about these issues from maybe different perspectives.
So I'm 51 years old, and when I think about my life, some of the people who I have the highest opinions of mm-hmm. were my teachers from and I went to all public education from K through 12, and I'm a graduate of a state university in New York. And the professors I had in university or the teachers I had K through 12 were wonderful, wonderful people. I cannot say enough great things about some of the wonderful teachers who I had. And at the same time, somebody has to be looking out for the students and the interest of the students and not only the employees of the district.
Right.
Like somebody in this process has to be has to represent the interests of the students to make sure that we are getting a world-class education, mm-hmm. that that government is already paying, that taxpayers are already funding. Education spending in America is at world-class standards.
Yeah.
The products are not. And so if you have one entity, which is the labor union officials, if they control their side of the bargaining table and then through their political action are successful in controlling the other side of the bargaining, collective bargaining table, well, then where does the interest of parents come in there? And one example that comes to mind, I know I keep drawing on these examples, but, you know, it's California, so there are plenty of bad examples. In my district, we had 11 high schools, and it turns out that one of the things I learned is that when the district has lots of money, the collective bargaining process focuses on compensation, how much money is being paid to the employees.
Mm-hmm.
But when the district doesn't have money, then the collective bargaining process shifts to workplace rules, which are specified in the bargaining agreement, because the bargaining agreement is not only about compensation, but it's also what the work rules are.
Right.
Well, I wanted to explore the possibility of offering more foreign languages to our students beyond just Spanish and mm-hmm. maybe French or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But we had a provision in our collective bargaining agreement that says, well, you cannot require a teacher to teach at more than one school. Well, what happens if we want to offer instruction in German or in Chinese? But we don't have enough demand at one school to fill three classes a day, but we might have enough demand at one school for two classes and another school for one class. And we had two high schools who were just literally right down the road from each other. In fact, in two different parts of the district, high schools are located down the road from one another. Well, can we hire someone and offer these classes or maybe other specialty classes in engineering or STEM classes, et cetera? But nope, the bargaining agreement didn't allow it. Yeah. And so... We cannot overlook, it seems to me, the aspect of those collective bargaining agreements and how they affect more than just whether teachers are being paid well, but the work rules can affect the quality of the instruction, right?
Absolutely right. It's interesting the way you've shaped that. I would argue, because you talked about we need somebody that would represent the children and the students, and of course that brings in the parents, obviously. But I would argue that perhaps a solid majority of rank and file teachers would advocate for their students. They love their kids. They and people who are passionate about teaching Chinese, most of them, they're looking for opportunity. Mm-hmm. They love what they do. They love helping more students gain that knowledge, and they don't mind at all teaching at this school on certain days and going down, you know, 20 right. miles away to another school. Why? It's opportunity. You know, people that are passionate about what they do, they're looking for opportunity. They want to have more impact. And you see, I think that's what we have to help people get back to and understand, that fundamentally that's what makes great schools and great education. And I'm going to use this expression, the bullying of bargaining agreements and negotiations are done through a bureaucratic process that doesn't really engage the whole team.
Yeah, we had a great time in that interview, and there was a lot of good conversation. Ron is an experienced professional, knows education thoroughly, and we had a great time together. I just so grateful for Ron and really for the Leadership Institute and their partnership with Noah Webster Educational Foundation, numbers of things that we're going to be doing together, starting with our online school board training, equipping people to actually know what the role of a school board is, and how they, you know, whether they fit or not, whether they should run, and if they do, you know, then how to really prepare for that. And so that's a great, great program and a great organization. We're glad to be working with them.
I know. I really enjoyed listening to that episode. I learned a lot about it. And if listeners want to hear that full episode, they can find the link to that in our show notes of this podcast. They can also learn more about the school board trainings that we offer, and we'll link that in the podcast as well. Thank you so much for talking with me today. It's been a great conversation.
Well, thank you, Shelby, for joining us. Again, this is Melvin Adams with State of Education, and we are delighted for all of you who join us, and you can get more of our content on all of the various podcast systems, and we welcome you to join us. If you like what you're hearing, if you want to get involved, check out our website, nwef.org. We'd welcome your support there, your feedback. We are a 501c3 nonprofit organization, and if you'd like to help support us financially, we would appreciate that as well. Thank you so very much. Hope you all have a wonderful day.